Welcome to VAMC Conversations. On this monthly podcast, we will have a discussion on ministries and how we can strengthen our connection together. All episodes of VAMC Conversations will be shared on the third week of the month. Feel free to contact us and share any suggestions and comments. And also remember to subscribe and share so we can further our outreach. And I want to welcome everyone. My name is Sungsu John. You can call me RJ. I'm currently serving as Associate Director of Serving Ministries at the Virginia Conference. And today I have invited our Master's in Communications, our Director of Communications, Ms. Madeline White, and our Digital Specialist, Mr. Hunter Brin, to come and talk about a scary word, evangelism. Why are we so scared about this word? Because we are all called to communicate the good news to this world. And of course, there are a lot of weight around this, but I do have to say, if we are not following this call to communicate this good news, question is, how can we really be called the church? So I had brought data, which can be a little skewed because it's not complete, and it does not reflect the whole picture, but I just thought that it was very interesting. In our EVC, which is the data that we collect and we ask for all the churches, 1,100 churches in our conference to submit, there are several categories, and one of them are profession of faith, and the other is baptism. And I had only isolated adult baptism because I felt like, oh, this is our way to identify who we are evangelizing and bring and inviting into our church faith community. So out of the 1,100 churches, I saw that there's only, that I'll not use that word only. There are 178 churches who had at least one adult baptism, meaning that there was some form of evangelism. The one who had, the church that had the most adult baptism was 11, but it gets a little scary if you parse it down. There were only 10 churches that had more than 5 adult baptism last year, and that marks 0.9% of our churches. The churches that had 2 to 4 baptism would be 58, and that will mark 5%. And the churches who had 1 adult baptism, that'll be 110, and that will mark 10%. And overall, anyone who had more than 1 adult baptism would be 16% of our churches. We definitely have a room for improvement. Mm-hmm. And that's why we invited Maddie and Hunter to come and help us understand, in the perspective of communications, how can we better evangelize? So with that, I want to invite our guests and say hi so they can say hi and we can start this conversation.
Hi, RJ. Thank you for inviting us to be here.
How's it going?
Good, good. So I just want to talk, and the first question is, why is evangelism such a hard topic for us as a church?
My impression of it is that we might all have a different definition of what evangelism is. My perception is that maybe people find it scary because it might be how they view their faith. There is a public side of it, there is a private side of it, and there is some vulnerability showing your private side of your faith. And I think maybe some people think evangelism is you need to go to the corner of the street, like you're handing out flyers to a subway, and talk to people who might not be willing to talk to you, who might not be open to what you're saying. But I know for me, sometimes when I've heard that word, that's where I go. But that's not a good definition of what evangelism is. For me, what I think of pure evangelism is more one-to-one. It's more with people you know. They're already seeing how you're modeling that, and it's just how you talk about it. But I think it's a scary thing.
Because it's relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of vulnerability that is required.
Yeah, I think for me, evangelism is, especially on social media, which is 90% of our jobs these days, is it's either really hit or miss. Mm. Like, I every once in a while will tell people, oh yeah, you can post like a scripture. But at the same time, I'll see posts that are calling people out or like I don't know, being that, I don't want to say annoying Christian, but kind of that annoying Christian to a point where it turns me off to it. I won't name his name, but my uncle is, or a family member of mine, not really an uncle.
You already gave
too much.
Yeah,
it's already
he's not actually an uncle. He's a family member. But he has been doing like TikTok videos of what evangelism for him is, and it's a lot. And it, to me, it's scary. As a Christian who goes to church on a Sunday, every Sunday, and posting in the communications world, the idea of like some people coming out and like basically preaching on TikTok or preaching on Facebook, it sometimes comes across as really harsh. And I think it does more harm than good. And I think that's there's this fine line in communication where you think you're doing something good, but it is not necessarily that. You're actually doing the opposite of what you're hoping.
Well, and RJ, there's also a side of, there's communication we can control and communication we can't control. And one of the things we can't control is, for people who aren't Christian, we get lumped as all together. But when we're Christian, we have a different theology than Baptists, than Catholics.
Yes.
And the problem is, when maybe one group does something that people don't agree with, that's how the lens they view Christianity. So we're up against, when we evangelize, public perception and what people might already think about us on top of how we even perceive how we live out our faith.
That is so true, because like we all think that everyone knows the different segments of Christianity, but to be very honest, the world may not. And what Connor said, and we're going to go on to that, is because some segments of the Christianity had tried to deliver this good news, but did it in a very harmful way. So the natural reaction for a lot of people is, oh, I'm not going to touch that subject because I don't know if I can be harmful. Mm-hmm. But when we're not talking about it, we can also be perceived as not being convicted of our faith. So the question is, how can we be convicted of what we believe, but at the same time, not doing it in a harmful way, doing it empathetically? What will be your thoughts?
I think so much of what we've been seeing in the last couple of years is this emphasis on story, whether you're talking about nonprofits or other corporations. People want to use products. People want to work with companies that can articulate their story and they live it out. And who better to live out a story than the church, because our faith is built on this story, our faith journey, and how all of this started. But I think the church needs to rediscover that story. I think we're doing it in a number of ways, but we've got to go back to, why do we say we believe what we do? When we think about the United Methodist Church, we need to revisit our faith so that we can then tell it to other people. Hunter and I talk all the time. We're millennials. We're always talking about, how do we reach the millennials, but also Gen Z? Generations are so different from each other. And I think one of the things we heard from Gen Z is authenticity. But if we want, there's this urge right now for people, they can tell when you're lying, when you don't believe what you believe. And we need to go back to our roots, our story, so that people can say, oh, they really believe what they say they believe. I think we just need to be a lot more authentic and a lot more get out of the entrenchment that we've been in.
Yeah, I think she brings up really good points with the authenticity and storytelling. I think in my head, there's two or three different types of communication. There's the, I'm going to share my story, or I'm going to share someone's story that's inspirational and touching. And then there's the, I'm going to point my finger at people who aren't doing what I think they should be doing. And I think one sometimes yells louder, but one is more effective. I think the one that yells louder is people who point fingers and say, you need to be going to church every Sunday. You need to be doing this. You're not a good Christian unless you do this, which I see all the time from some of the bigger conglomerations. I just butchered that word. The big churches.
Deconcobulate.
The mass churches. The really big ones, they have a tendency to do the finger pointing sometimes, and that turns people off. Whereas one thing that we try to do at Virginia Conference is we try to tell people stories, and this is where the authenticity comes into play. If I have a personal story of how God affected my life, someone might look at that and say, you know what, I want that to happen to me. And that's how I imagine the empathy comes into it as well, is like, at least from the other side, they're feeling empathetic to how I'm feeling because I just had this insane experience with God, or my ministry is doing this amazing thing and they want to be a part of it. Instead of me posting, you need to be going to church every Sunday, you need to be reading your Bible, you're going to hell if you're not doing this.
So what I'm hearing is that what we need to do is we need to make God's story my story, right? So probably it starts with knowing the story first. And that's I think that's what you're trying to do with the Wesley series, right? Methodist.
Yes.
Because we need to know our story. And then when we are able to make that story my story, we can share our story with God instead of pointing people to go and see God's story.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, when they hear evangelism, it's look at me, you need to be doing this, you need to be doing what I'm doing. But I think, in my opinion, I think you're right. I think it's, I want to do what's good for me, and then I'm going to show people what I'm doing, not trying to tell people what to do.
Well, and I think it's also a reminder that your faith journey never stops. And I think somehow we've gotten it messed up where you answer the call to Christ and you say, oh, I'm done. But what we should be modeling for other people is we are constantly struggling. No matter if you're clergy or laity, you are constantly struggling, constantly far apart, close to God, and you're constantly trying to find your way back. But we need to show people that struggle, that we don't have it all together. And that's part of being authentic, to say, you know, I'm having a bad week or I'm having a bad season, but I have this faith, and I'm going to name that I'm struggling, and I'm going to lean on my friends and my family and my faith group, but I'm going to get back there. And I think it's relationship.
That actually kind of is tied up with social media, the culture of social media, because we try to project our high moments.
Oh, Instagram.
And instead of being vulnerable to show our low moments and how we are still pursuing toward hope, that gives a lot of comparison. And I hear, this is the reason why I'm saying is, a lot of people say that, I don't think I'm worthy to go to church. Y'all have it all, and I don't.
Yeah, and I think that's, I mean, that's kind of the point of why we started doing the Skunk on the Table video series, is we want to have those hard conversations that are transparent, that shows, you know, I know we released one today about appointments and like how that process works. And we've talked about disaffiliation, which is obviously kind of a very stinky topic right now, but it is a topic we have to talk about. I think the fact that we are trying to have those conversations in the open, we're trying to put out how we're actually feeling about these things, it is the right step forward to combat some of that. Like, there's a term for it. I know there's like a academic term for the whole outward facing, everything's looking fine and dandy. But I think doing the Skunk on the Table and even having some posts that are like, you know, this happened, we're just owning it. It's this isn't exactly a good thing. I think that is the first step to combating some of that. And I think people notice it and they see it as being more, I mean, I want to use the word authentic again.
We're going to count how many times you use authentic.
But another thing, I want to not lose the stream that you picked up there, RJ, with the Instagram. Oh, gosh, do I struggle with that? You know, I'm like, oh, geez, I think I've got it all, and I'm looking at Instagram. I'm like, oh, no, jealousy is rising up. But I think as Christians, as United Methodists, we need to relearn empathy. We also need to get out of some habits, because I think we're in a habit of, we look at Instagram, we think everyone's so perfect, I have to be like that. But we also have this bad habit of, we look at headlines and we say we know the whole story and we're not willing to look into it more. And we have got to relearn. You don't know the whole story. You know, I grew up, you know, late elementary school, working on a computer. And then by the time I was in middle school, we were constantly on the computer using it for research and everything. But, you know, I remember a time when we had to, if you wanted to know something, you had to look it up. You had to go to an encyclopedia, you had to go to the library. And now, because we have this phone in our hands, we have everything at our fingertips. But that doesn't mean that everything's true. And I think we need to relearn. Let's just take the time to learn someone's story. Hunter was sharing a story about someone giving a sermon and how like people in the YouTube comments weren't waiting for the end of the sermon to make comments. You know, mm-hmm. when we're looking at something and expecting immediate gratification and we're going to understand it right now, that's a problem. So I think we as a people of faith need to learn active listening again.
We have to learn active listening is definitely what we need to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're on the right track. Like going on to starting by saying, hey, we're not really doing a good job in evangelism, yeah. right?
It's yeah. hard. It's not an easy thing to do because you either look like a bleeding heart Christian who is like basically begging people to come to Christ, or you look like you're doing nothing by doing the lazy posts and saying, and I mean, I'm talking mostly about social media. I mean, communications these days is probably about 90% social media and 10% email blasts. But like, I think for evangelism, there's that two pathways. It's either I'm going to nail it as hard as I can, and it's going to become annoying on your timeline, or it's going to look like you're barely doing anything.
And I think Maddie is suggesting that middle way relationship. Not only going to that person, but also helping that person find the story and their story. How can we go as a church to that middle road of not doing harmful messaging, but at the same time doing something that might be transformational?
I mean, that's a hard question. I think.
And if we solve it today, what do we get as a prize?
I know, right?
I think I would go back to school and use it as a thesis. I mean,
or a final project for my class.
True. I think if we found the way to do the middle of the road, at least the first thought that pops into my head is think before you post. Like, part of it is, are you doing harm? Part of it is it furthering the kingdom? And how much of it is, are you doing it so that you get likes, or are you doing it so that you're trying to bring people to God? I think finding the relationship part of it is the hardest part because of the disconnect between people when it comes through social media. Like, it's hard for me to, like, I don't know, I'm not going to randomly message someone and say, hey, like, where are you at with your faith journey? And, like, trying to build that relationship on a social platform. I mean, I wish I did, but I just don't have the time. That's a lot of people.
Yeah. I think so. You know, disciple making is really happening at our local church level. And so a lot of this comes not from us. It comes from us supporting them, but it's local churches. It's our pastor. It's our lay leadership. But I think it's them looking at how they use social media and saying, are we being authentic to ourselves? Are we? What is the story we are telling in all our channels? And is it true to who we are? And if it is, great, awesome, you guys are doing it. But I think it's providing things that make people interested. So it's the videos, it's the things that make people laugh or make people think more, but it's then providing the relational element right behind it. So it's not shoving it in their face, but just saying, hey, you enjoyed this, you know, we'd love for you to have come to our small group or something. But that's where the work's happening. It's in those small groups. It's those one-to-ones. And I think our churches are doing it, but I think they just need to make sure they're tying the story with the relationship.
Invitation.
Yes.
With an invitation.
I think what you're saying is 100% right. I think the small church and, like, their social platforms is the majority of where evangelism happens. But, like, as you're talking, I'm thinking, you know, if I'm going to post a video as a small church pastor and I have, let's say, a parishioner who really likes it, I'm going to invite them to help me with the next one. I think a lot of times what happens with social media and communications is we send it out and we forget about it. It's like, oh, I'm going to send it out. I'm going to wait for all the likes and comments to come in to make me feel good about myself. But I think a lot of people forget about there could be another step. The other step could be reaching out to someone who commented and say, hey, like, I know you really liked our John Wesley video. I'm just using it as an example. Would you be interested in coming in to help us plan the next one? And kind of bringing those people into the communications of your church. Because I think getting people involved makes them connect with it a lot more too, instead of just being like, oh, I'm going to wait for the next video to come out and then I'll comment on that one. And then it's at this never ending cycle of like,
well, you a disconnect. Made a huge point, Hunter, that, and I think maybe some of our clergy feel like they're doing it alone. And I think one of the other things we need to do is emphasize our laity have great gifts. And they don't have to be the lay leader to help out and be a leader in their church. I think it's looking at the people in your congregation and saying, who likes taking pictures? Who is the person that knows everything that's going on in our community? Who's the person who has a way in with the youth? Like, it's really using those gifts and saying, can you help me? And I think that's a way into evangelism that I think people don't, again, they don't understand the definition. And if you laid out for them, this is how you live out your faith, they could be like, oh, I didn't realize that helping with communications and helping my pastor is evangelism.
And there is an academic term for that. It's called social capital. Can you use your social capital to broaden your network and broaden the audience of your communication?
Yeah.
So
I think, but also going back to it, I think that also makes people in your church feel like they have a purpose too in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Like as a photographer, if my pastor came to me and was like, hey, I know you take photos, we have this event coming up, would you mind taking photos for social media? That would mean the world to me.
Oh, wow. Discovery. Adam, you have to hear this.
I'm already doing their AV and tech stuff. I don't know if I want to do more. But like, that's, I think that is a form of evangelism in itself. Not necessarily a communications form. You're just kind of like help having someone use their talents to help. And I think it goes a lot farther than you think it is.
And small disclaimer, we're always looking out for not burning people out. So it's not telling that person, you've got to do this every week, but it's inviting them to do it and saying, I've noticed you have this gift. And I have to say, when I've had people, mentors or different things in my life, recognize something that I didn't see myself, it was huge. So can you imagine if some of our pastors or our lay leadership really started looking at their congregations and saying, I recognize this gift in you? That's huge to them. So, and I think once they see it in themselves, they look for it in others. They look for what are the gifts that people don't see that I can help lift them up.
But also, if you're a lady, you don't have to be asked. Sometimes that's the other shoe. I think if you have the gift and you know you have the gift, just go out to the event, take photos, and send them. I'm so happy when people are like, hey, we had a fall festival. I send photos to you. I'm gonna post that. It happens very rarely. If you're listening to this and you want to send me photos, please do. VAUMC.org. My name's Hunter Brin. You can find my email on there. But
don't wait until you're asked, right?
Yeah, you don't have to be asked. If you feel
both and.
I think it goes both ways. I mean, if you are shy and you like to be asked, that might be how it works. But if you have 10,000 followers on Instagram, that's a lot. But also, use your platform that you have to also further your church's thing. So like if you have a huge following on social media, you could also post, hey, we're having a fall festival, here's some photos from it, and like help share through your social media and then just connect it back to your churches. I think that would also be a huge gift.
Going along with what you're saying, Hunter, I mean, it's being authentic to what feels right to your platform. I don't know what awards ceremony this was. I saw a clip on TikTok this morning. It was Selena Gomez, and she was saying to people, you know, don't listen to the haters. Don't listen to those negative comments about your body and all this stuff. She's like, there is so much love in the world. She's like, there is love in each one of you, and we need to spread that. And at the end of the day, no one remembers those people who spread that hate. They remember the people who spread love. And so she was not really spreading some Christian message, but she was. And so it's about what is authentic to you. And modeling that will show people what you believe. So it doesn't have to be language that doesn't feel right to you. Do it. Interpret it how you will to your audience.
So what I'm hearing is let's be remembered as people who spread love. Mm-hmm. And that true love that is coming from our Lord Christ. So if I can kind of wrap this up, what I hear from what you're saying was we would love to have more authenticity.
That word.
And I heard strategic from what Hunter had said, invitation, and also working together as a team. So let's try something, and let's hope and pray that the Spirit will work through us trying to share this message of Christ to this world. So that is it for this month. Remember that the Audio Advocate will be released on the first week of every month. Until we meet again, remember that we are all in this together.